Morning. If you have a Bible, I hope you do. Ask you to turn it on. Maybe. There we go. Sometimes my fingers don't walk through the yellow pages just right, you know. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Jesus is preparing his disciples for what's about to take place. And this is a monumental moment in their lives. Now, how many of you here like to have things explained with word pictures? You like to have word pictures? We vote every once in a while, okay? Word pictures are good, right? A time or two I've been in the waiting room and then have the doctor call me when I've waited with people or waited with family into the little room where they tell you all the stuff they did to you or did to your loved one. And there's usually some kind of dry erase board there or something there. Or they have some kind of light they turn on that's got all these pictures on it. And as they talk, they explain with the picture exactly what they did. Now, some of those pictures I don't want to see necessarily, but I understand better what he's talking about when I see a picture. And God gives us in his word, in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, metaphors that help us understand what he's trying to say to us. And he gives us metaphors to help us understand the church, to help us understand what it's all about. Now, metaphors only go so far. I mean, you can't carry them to the complete end on anything. But the general idea of a metaphor is what God's using. And they help communicate something to us. Now, Jesus makes a statement here in the 18th and 19th verse. And Jesus is talking to Simon Peter and to the apostles. After Peter made the declaration that Jesus was the Son of God, the Christ. In 18 he says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Let's pray. Father, this is your holy word, and Lord, it's without any mixture of error. It's without any issues. I pray that we would open our hearts and minds to your word. I pray for the illuminating activity of the Holy Spirit. And just for a little while, help us to focus on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at three metaphors today. Now, there are more than three, but there are three important metaphors that are used in the New Testament that define, I believe, the church. And we're going to cover them in general today. I'm going to give you a fast track, okay? Give you something quick, I think. Somebody said that he don't ever do anything quick, but I'm going to give you an overview, and then we're going to expand on that overview. It may take 3 weeks to expand on it. It won't take 6 months, but it'll take maybe more than 3 weeks, okay? As we dig into it. First, he uses the three: the body, the building or temple, and the bride. And we're going to talk about that today and next week. Help us understand what the church is to be about. First of all, the church is defined as a body. Now, the Bible says that the people of God are a body. Now, I want you to think about a body. Okay? Think about your body. Think about somebody else's body in a good way. Okay? You've got many parts. Now, I look around over this congregation and there's all kinds of bodies. Y'all have different parts made in different ways. But you have a body. And you're able to do things with your body. Some of you have talents with your body that the person sitting next to you don't have, or sitting around you don't have. And there are a lot of things going on in your body that I don't even see, and you don't see. I mean, your brain has sent signals to your glands to secrete hormones and things. And right now, your body's digesting your breakfast and you don't even know it. The only way you know it's go to a science book and read about it, because you can't see it. There's things that take place in your body that you don't know about. On the inside, the skin covers it up. The Apostle Paul says, you know, we cover up the more comely parts, the parts that we don't need everybody to see. Okay? I was glad when that school teacher got on Naked and Afraid and they fired her. She needed fired. Her students didn't need to know they could run around and be naked. She shouldn't have done that. It's not God's desire. He clothed Adam and Eve with animal skins. That ought to tell you something. You ain't supposed to run around like that. I scare myself to death when I get out of the shower and look up in the mirror, so I don't want nobody to see me. Hello. But we have many body parts. And we different sizes. There are petite people. And then there are people who look like me. Just the way we are. And it has to do with our genetics. And how we were given them. We didn't vote on them. I wasn't asked about them. Well, I'd had an opinion. I'd have told them. But it wouldn't done me no good. I got whatever I got. And God says it's okay because I'll take care of it and use it. And God does. He uses it. He's great at using us as individuals. But you and I as individuals make up a body of Christ here in this community. And just like we look different in here, this body here will look different than other bodies of Christ. And it will function different than other bodies of Christ. Now, you and I have similar things we do. We wash our faces, we comb our hairs, we put on clothes, we eat. We do things similar. We walk. And churches will be similar, but they will be different. I see gray hair, I see dark hair, I see no hair, I see some of the hair that I see. Only God knows his color, but you see, this church doesn't have to be like anybody else. We don't have to be like the church down the road. We don't have to be like a church in Bolivar or Springfield or Kansas City or Joplin or St. Louis. We don't have to be like that. We just have to be the church God wants us to be and the church God creates us to be. And if we're obedient to what God has done in our midst, God will use us for his glory. And we'll be content and we'll be happy. And there'll be smiles on our face because we're doing what God wants us to do. In Colossians, God says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and he is the head, talking about Christ, of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He's number one. Verse 24, first chapter. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. It says Christ is the head of the church. He said, I will build my church. You and I can't build it. He's building it, but he builds it through us. We have to understand that. We the body parts of Christ here on this earth. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouthpiece. The Holy Spirit infills us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be the church. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a great chapter to read about the many different body parts. And the church at Corinth had an issue. They had an issue with everything. I mean, they did. I mean, if one sat up, the other one sat down. They had an issue. And he said, you know, the eye can't say to the ear, well, I'm not an ear, so I'm not going to see. The ear can't say to the foot, well, I'm not a foot, so I'm not going to hear. The foot can't say, well, you know, I'm not a mouth, so I'm not going to walk. Well, that don't make sense. That's silly. And that's what Paul says. God placed you in the church. He put you in there. The Bible says in that 12th chapter that we are given our gifts by the Holy Spirit of God. And he's given those gifts to the church and to us as he desires. Well, I don't like the gift he gave me. I'm going to do something else. That's fine. You're out of the will of God. You tell him you don't like it. Don't tell me. You just say, I don't like it. You tell him. You argue with him. Don't argue with me. You'd rather argue with me than him, I know. Because we don't like to tell God we don't like something. Now, he's gracious enough to us, but we don't like to do that. He's given us everything we need. This local New Testament church, Elkton Baptist Church, lacks no gift. I'm going to say it again. Elkton Baptist Church lacks no gift. It has every gift it needs to accomplish the work of Jesus Christ in building his church. And we're going to talk about that in the future. It's a body, but it's also a building, a spiritual temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Excuse me. Beginning in verse 9, he says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work may be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Oh, we got to pay attention to what we build on. The foundation of Jesus Christ, he's the cornerstone. We're going to talk more about that cornerstone in that culture. Everything in the building, everything, on the inside and outside, underneath and on top, is in alignment with the cornerstone in that culture. Everything. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. You and I better be in alignment with him. And it says that the apostles and prophets laid the rest of the foundation. You and I better be in alignment with them, and we won't be on the foundation. You understand that? And you and I are a temple, a building that he is building for himself. He is building that building for worship. The body is for functioning, doing the work of Christ. The building, the temple, is for worship. You and I are to gather together on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it don't matter what day. But when we gather together as Elkton Baptist Church to sing and to hear God's word, we better gather for worship. Don't come to get your ear tickled. Don't come to get your back scratched. If you roll over, I won't rub your tummy, I promise. my dog Charlie. If I get to scratching his ear, under his ear just a little bit, man, he'd flip over on his tummy and say, "Scratch my tummy." That ain't happening here. We have gathered for worship. We have gathered to honor Jesus Christ. We're gathered to exalt Him, to magnify Him, to worship Almighty God. And our eyes got to be on Calvary. Our eyes got to be on Jesus. Our thoughts have got to be on Jesus. He died on the cross. He took your place and my place. God poured out every ounce of wrath He had on Him instead of on you, instead of on me. You got to worship Him. You got to praise Him. We got to honor Him. And where authentic worship takes place, the presence of God is there. Jesus talked about discipline in a church. And He said, where two or three are gathered, I am there in their midst. The implication is when you and I gather together, Jesus is here. Now, why is He here? Because you and I are filled with the Spirit of God. Paul said, anyone that does not have the Spirit of God doesn't belong to Christ. You have to have the Holy Spirit in living in you. And whether He controls and guides your life's a different story, but He's there. And when you and I gather together, God's here in our midst. We ought to worship Him. We ought to honor Him. We ought to magnify Him. We have the body. We have the building, the people. I'm not talking about these four walls. This is a place that's been designed for us to gather at. But we could gather in a school gym. We can gather under a tree. I've done that. I've had church under a tree. Man, it was good church. The reason we had church under a tree, tornado tore down the building. They didn't have one. But they had a big old tree. We gathered there. We had Sunday worship there. Hallelujah time. God was good. God was in the midst. And then there's the bride. I've had a lot of weddings through the years. You know, I counsel with the couple, and sometimes I wonder how it's going to turn out. But I've never seen an ugly bride. Some may have got close, but I've never seen an ugly bride. I've been standing up here and I watch her come around the corner or come through the door with her dad. And I see her groom looking at her for the first time. And man, all kinds of things happen. I've seen them, you know. And not the last wedding I have, but the one before that. She came up steps, upstairs. And when she turned the corner, her groom's knees started getting weak. And he started going down to the floor. I grabbed one arm and best man grabbed the other arm and we said, "Cole, you going to be, oh yeah, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine." "You ain't going to be fine, son. Stand up here. You're going to have to look at you laying on the floor." And when he got all weak and not needed, I looked back and her dad just grinning from ear to ear. "Yeah." I've seen that happen more than once.
The Bible says the church, born again believers, you and I, are the bride of Christ. Let me read 2 Corinthians to you. 2 Corinthians 11:2. I'll get there. Hang with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband. He says, I have betrothed you. I have engaged you to one husband. Now, this is a first century Jewish custom here, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. It's interesting, the things I've been studying about first century marriages, things I totally forgot about. This passage right here. In Revelation, there's a wedding feast going to take place. Jesus talked about wedding feast in parables. This passage right here, it says, in the history background, when the bridegroom took his bride to the bride chamber, and they're escorted by a company of people, friends, and they consummate the marriage. He brings the bedclothes out and lays out on the ground so people can see she was a virgin. That's kind of rough, isn't it, ladies? But that's their culture. If she's not a virgin, he can get out of the marriage and she can be stoned to death. That's your culture. Now, you have to have that in a mindset. Okay? Jesus is looking for a pure bride. It got awful quiet, didn't it? Yeah, it beat me up too, real bad. He intends for you and I to be pure in heart and pure in mind. He intends for you and I to really be a bride for him. Our devotion, our love, our commitment is not to us. I'm not in it for my welfare. I'm not in it for your welfare. I'm in it for the glory and honor of Christ. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear him say that I am a pure, holy person. And I want this local congregation in the time I'm here, however long that will be, to be pure and holy to God. Yes. To him. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I want to present you as a holy, chaste virgin to Christ. I want him to be honored. When he sees you, I want him to smile. When you come to the wedding feast, I want to see him smile from ear to ear. I want to see him say, oh, here comes my bride.
Oh, look at my bride. Look what the Father gave me.
Do you want him to be happy with you when you come to him at the wedding feast? I want you to be. And so we're going to talk about that over the next period of time. It's very important that you get these, okay? If you miss a Sunday, go on Facebook or YouTube, or go to the website and pull up the sermon. Endure it, okay? For Christ's sake, not for me. For Christ's sake. And we're going to talk about historically and biblically what they were saying and how that would apply to our lives. And let me give you application this morning. I'm going to give you four things. I may give them to you every week, but I'm going to give them to you today. Believe. Be a true follower of Jesus Christ. True follower. Second, become a real disciple. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. That's what we got to do. Luke 9:23. Belong to the congregation. Don't just attend, belong. I'm a part of what the church does. I'm a part of its ministry. I'm a part of its outreach. I'm a part of the body of Christ. I'm the building for worship. I'm this bride. And I'm going to the wedding feast. And when I get there, I'll get in the door because I'll have the right garments on and I'll have my lantern filled with oil. And I won't be shut out. And then be there. Be there for the work. When the church does ministry, be there. Don't say, well, that's Ron's job. Let him do it. Or Tim's job. Let him do it. Or that's a preacher's job. Let him do it. Don't do that. Be there. Be a part of it. Because technically, you're a part of the family of God, and you're a part of the local congregation. Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, one final word. If the gates of hell prevail against this church, he's not building it. We are. If the gates of hell are prevailing against this church, Christ is not building it. We are. When he builds it, they have no power over his church. I'm so thankful he builds it. Because I know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But I still don't have power to overcome him unless I do it through Jesus Christ. If Michael the archangel in a one-on-one can't take him without using the Lord's name, you and I don't stand a chance on our own without Jesus. It's his church. His church. Now some of you smiling because you're happy you're in his church. Some of you not smiling. I don't know if you're in the church or not, man. Smile. We have everything to smile about because we are part of the family of God. Amen? Amen? Let's stand together.
Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, this is your church. And Father, I know in the past, old Danny Decker tried to build them and it didn't work. Things went, and you know that. And you had to jerk my chain and get my attention. I want to let you build this congregation for the time I'm here. I don't want to get in the way, Lord. I want to be your servant. I want to be the one that you help lead through the leadership of this church to let it grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that this community will say, God is doing something down there at that church. God is working at that church. God is present in that church. Not for our glory, but for yours, for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.